All right, the Commissioner Court will come to order this morning. And as we begin, do we have someone who would volunteer to lead us in our opening invocation today?
Here's Webb over there. Webbo will do it.
Webbo, if you would, please. If you come to the microphone. And then we'll stand. Let's all stand together, and then we'll say our pledges. Thanks, sir.
Judge, thank you. Our most gracious Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to join together and to come together. And we ask your blessings as this court deliberates the governance of this county. Lord, help us all to realize that the victim of the crucifixion is actually the victor of the resurrection. We thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon all of us. Above all, your atoning blood on the cross and the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Now our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect this morning that all are present, quorum is present. And we have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda.
Before we do that, I would like to remove the resolution related to the balancing of groundwater.
That's 8D. Okay, we have a motion to remove 8D. Proclamation and resolution section. We have a motion. I'll second that motion. Commissioner Riley seconds. All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Do I have a motion then to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda with modifications?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much. All right. Citizen comments. Have anyone this morning who would like to make any citizens who would like to make comments on our consent agenda or on our regular open agenda? All right, if there are none, then let's move on to proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. And Jason, do we have someone here from the hospital district? Emergency medical service. Oh, there we go. Chief?
Good morning. Thank you for having us this morning. Thank you for your time, and more importantly, thank you for all your support and commitment to the hospital district over the last year. We sincerely appreciate it. So this proclamation is to designate the week of May 16th through 22nd, 2021, as Emergency Medical Services Week, whereas the Montgomery County Hospital District provides emergency medical services to the citizens of Montgomery County, Texas. And whereas access to quality emergency care dramatically improves the survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness or injury, and whereas the members of emergency medical service teams, whether career or volunteer, engage in thousands of hours of specialized training and continuing education to enhance their life-saving skills, and whereas the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court hereby supports and recognizes the Montgomery County Hospital District emergency services personnel as an integral partner to the citizens of Montgomery County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, does hereby proclaim the week of May 16th through the 22nd, 2021, as Emergency Medical Services Week.
Move. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are proud to do it for you guys.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. All right. We move on to our next proclamation. Commissioner, was that yours?
Oh, no. Is elder abuse?
On the elder abuse.
That one came through our office.
Would you come and read it?
Charlie, was he thinking of digging you?
I think he was.
Apparently.
I ain't quiet on that.
He told me. He said, put down Charlie Riley.
I ain't quiet on that Social Security yet, but I'm getting close. Y'all are driving me there every minute.
Every day goes by.
My setup here.
Just for the record, I was not taking a dig at you. The one reading this resolution said you're the one that put it on. So, Jason, thank you for that. Proceed.
Good morning, Commissioners and Judge. Proclamation for May 2021, Elder Abuse Awareness Month. Whereas May is Elder Abuse Prevention Month in Texas, and the Department of Protective Family Services and Adult Protective Service Division in Montgomery County is raising awareness about abuse, neglect, and exploitation of seniors and vulnerable adults. And whereas people who are elderly or have disabilities have contributed to the general welfare of Montgomery County by helping to preserve customs and convictions and traditions of diverse backgrounds, and whereas these residents are vital and integral members of our society, and their wisdom and experience have enriched our lives, and whereas elder abuse can happen to men and women of all income levels, culture, or ethnic backgrounds, approximately 1 in 10 Americans 65 and older have experienced some form of abuse. And whereas last year, Adult Protective Services in Montgomery County investigated 1,336 cases of abuse, neglect, or exploitation of older adults and people with disabilities. Self-neglect was a risk factor in most of these cases. Loneliness and isolation can make seniors more vulnerable to abuse and neglect and exploitation. Excuse me. And whereas abuse hurts at any age and at all level, and all people, diverse, dignity, respect, and the right to live in a society free from abuse and neglect. Now, therefore, the Commissioners Court of Montgomery County, Texas, does hereby proclaim the month of May 2021 as Elder Abuse Prevention Month and urge all citizens to work together to help reduce abuse, neglect, and exploitation of people who are elderly or have disabilities.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Commissioner Riley.
Now, this is mine. I'm going to go down to the...
If you would, that'd be great.
I'm going to ask... Buddy Adams and his guests to join me at the podium, if y'all would. Would y'all come right this way, please?
Commissioner Riley, this is going to be tough, but I'm going to, for the record, I'm going to need you to talk into the microphone so that they will get it on the speaker. So may I make a suggestion? If you, everybody turn in this direction. Oh, there you go. You can do that. That's fine. That'll work great.
Are you?
Can y'all hear me now?
Absolutely.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, I've been a fixer over in West County for all your life. You born and raised over there, right? So I've known Buddy for, I guess, all my life, all of his life. He's always tried to do right in the community. He's always been involved with the community. He cooks barbecue, but he's a close second to mine. very close, yeah. But he helps when we need help. And back in February when the ice storm hit, everything was closed down, and we were all out trying to take care of roads, trying to keep things open. Most people couldn't even be open, and he was one of them, but he found a way that he could take care of people that were out taking care of everybody else. So I just wanted to recognize Buddy and his crew for that today. And I'm going to read this proclamation, and it says, whereas winter came in February 2021, and the state of Texas was covered by the danger of frozen ice, causing a time of uncertainty for the community of Montgomery County, and whereas Buddy Adams, owner of the meeting place, wanted to recognize and help first responders who put themselves in harm's way by donating meals and assisting emergency personnel. Whereas Buddy Adams and his staff have shown generosity and commitment by providing complimentary food and words of encouragement to weary first responders and essential workers during disaster situations. And whereas Buddy Adams and the meeting place have made their mark as loyal members of the community, with their continued acts of kindness, service, and support for the public. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Commissioners' Court of Montgomery County does hereby proclaim May 11, 2021, as Buddy Adams Day from Montgomery County.
All right. All right, thank you. And thank you for your service and congratulations. Thank you, Commissioner Riley. All right, as we move to item 9, consider and approve the Commissioner's Court minutes from regular session dated April 27th, 21. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda? Are there any modifications anyone would like to make?
Judge, I have none.
Okay, I have one. That is item 10B1. Under the budget office, I'd like to move that to open.
Where's that at?
That's on page 3 of 11. Page 3 of 11.
Oh, okay.
That's your only change?
Yeah, that's it.
I move with modifications.
Is there any other modifications?
Second.
None?
Second.
All in
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And let's go ahead and move to item 10B1. Amanda, if you would.
I don't think we voted, Judge.
On what?
On the consent. We just moved the modifications.
Okay. Do we have? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate that. We were on a roll there.
Did she have to take these back?
Thank attorney.
Hi. Good morning.
State demand, if you would.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. This morning, I do have an amendment that's also going to have an adjustment as part of it. And this is regarding the $250,000. We talked about this probably about a month ago, about allocating some funds instead of pulling everything from fund balance each court, that we would set aside $250,000. We went back and forth on some of these. But we decided as at the budget office and with some of the chief of staffs that we were going to do $250,000 as a starting point. And as we were going to use that, we would update the court and replenish those funds as necessary. But we are asking for is a one-time, at this point, $250,000 amendment so that for any kind of future, either COVID, disaster, hazardous materials, services, or supplies that might be needed by either OEM or, custodial or any of the first responders regarding anything that, may come up. And instead of, naming fund balance, we're going to just kind of allocate these funds for that. Does that make sense?
Move.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Amanda. All right. Consider, discuss, and approve resolution renewing and extending the declaration of local disaster for a public health emergency for a period of 30 days to expire June 12th, 2021 at 11:59 p.m. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Do we know when these may end? We're getting any feedback on how
until
long?
Until it ends, we just keep approving so we don't get stuck.
Clear it up. Until it ends.
Until it ends.
Jason, come and share with us what's going on there.
So much like we've talked in the past, the disaster declaration is only in effect to assist with our purchasing and procurement process with a depleted supply chain on issues. We're getting close to wrapping up some of our and I'll talk about this in a little bit later, but getting close to wrapping up some things. But as far as when the governor continues to extend his disaster declaration, that is to assist us and assist the county with ours on our procurement and purchasing items. So we do have some things still related to COVID that are tough to get, and we don't have to go out to bid and delay the process when we can find it now and procure it now.
Judge, regarding that, I have a question for Gilbert, actually, if you could come up here.
Jason, don't go away.
Do you... No, we're not. It's going to be related to this item, trust me. So under this item, would purchasing vehicles or computer components that are hard to find because of COVID, as the supply chains have been disrupted, is that, can we utilize this provision to try to find those purchases and make them in a timely manner?
That's a good question.
I knew it was, Amy.
Yeah, pray about that one.
Legal on that?
Not sure yet.
There is some truth to that. I mean, we're waiting for vehicles we ordered in August.
Right.
Law enforcement vehicles.
Absolutely.
So if you think about law enforcement, first responder vehicles, if this court wants to take that stand, I'd really appreciate that guidance, because I would not just go out and do it. I'd make sure this court was behind me on that issue. So
well, I know we're, just in my office trying to get vehicles, trying to get the technology needed for our signal cabinets, trying to get components for
earlier, we awarded a truck for Commissioner Met. There were seven of those trucks in the U.S., and it's just a Ford F-250 with a gas engine.
I was looking on the news this morning of all the vehicles that Ford has parked in Kentucky at a raceway.
Amy, do you think that there's an application here, or do you need to study it?
May I make a suggestion, if we can, Commissioner?
Dump the attorney.
It would be a purchasing agenda item to discuss rather than an approval of a resolution in order.
Let me do some research and some.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Let me work on
bring
that.
It back. That'd be great.
Next time.
Thank you.
Stay right there. Okay, so we're going to get back together on that. We need to. I want to have a motion to approve this first, and we need a second.
We
first and seconded a vote. Did we already vote on that deal?
No, but we first and seconded.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Stay there, and we will bring back number 12 in just a moment. I'd like to move to emergency management while you're there, because you did bring up the topic of the vaccines in this. So let's go ahead and talk about it and take your items, if you would, please, and then we'll come back to the Justice of the Peace Precinct 1.
Perfect. All right, item 13A, like all previous courts, just bringing an update of where we are on the vaccine distribution program. The hub at Wood Forest Stadium is nearing its tenure. We're in the process of downsizing it as we speak and preparing to close it. As of June 3rd will be our last operational day for vaccines on that site. Anyone that is still pending a second shot, whether it be Pfizer or Moderna through St. Luke's or Lone Star or through the Public Health District, should make arrangements to get to Lone Star before June 3rd and get those second doses, because the site will close. We are not in the process of giving first doses at that site as of this morning due to the calendar. If we give a first dose today, we have to give the second dose in 28 days or 21 days, depending on what vaccine they receive. So in order to stick to our June 3rd demobilization day, first doses are done. Our providers are still doing first doses, but they're setting that up as clinic times in their facilities, at their private facilities.
How many have we given so far?
Just getting that. As of this morning, we've given out 358,908 vaccines in the county. That's through all providers, not just the hub provider. 219,000 of them are first doses, 150,000 are fully vaccinated. That's 32.17% of the county at 16 years of age and older that have at least been fully vaccinated. As of this morning, 72% of our 65 and up population have received at least one dose. 56.5% of them have been fully vaccinated. 16 and up age population, which includes the elderly, is we're at 45% first dose at least, and then 31.36% fully vaccinated in that age category. So as you know, yesterday the FDA cleared ages 12 and up to receive Pfizer. We did a survey, OEM did a survey last week to see if there was some demand for that. Our results were there was a little bit of demand, but not enough to necessitate needing the hub. And the hub providers preferred parents make arrangements through their doctors or through pharmacies to have on-site attention for that age group versus doing the drive-through hub model, because the kids just couldn't come during the week anyway when we're open because of school. So on the vaccine front, we're wrapping up. It's been a long time coming. It's unbelievable to think that we've been at this now going on 5.5 months, almost 6 months. Time's flied. The EMS chief and folks from the hospital district have already left, but they've been an integral part of getting this done, along with several fire departments throughout the county, and then all of our law enforcement agencies within the county and some of our partnering agencies outside of the county that have helped keep this thing running smooth. It's been a great experience. We do have the potential with some of the providers as they wind down and may have additional supplies on hand that we may open up for a one-off day at the fairgrounds, just so they can push out what's in their freezers, so they can't. They do have expiration dates on those. But as of right now, we're not slated to have that happen. So if it goes to plan, they'll be exhausting their supply, and we'll be closing down as planned. Yes,
Jason,
sir.
Jason, out of the 358,000-plus, do we have any idea how many are Montgomery County residents?
That's all Montgomery County
that's
residents.
All Montgomery
yes.
County.
We've done...
Well, before we've asked that question, and you've said that you had quite a few people from here. So how did you get this number?
So the state system, the ImmuTrack system, tracks us by residential address. So if you're entered into the system, these numbers come directly out of that system. You're entered into the system, you're entered in with your address and your zip code, then they assign your shot basically to the county of residence. So when we give a Harris County or a Fort Bend County resident a shot, once their data is entered into the ImmuTrack system from our provider showing that John Q. Public received their shot on this date, that's going to assign that shot number basically to the residential county where they're from. So we've given more than these in the county because we've done, you know, a substantial number of North Harris County residents, the Spring area residents that are closer to our hub, frequent there quite often. We've done a lot more than this in the terms of actual vaccinations, but these are our actual county numbers that represent our population.
And just to clarify, the 358,000, that's not necessarily given by us. That's anybody that
any
lives
provider
in
the county, correct.
Yeah. Well, they could have gotten it in Harris County or
correct.
Galveston or
that is correct.
Anywhere
yeah.
else.
Yeah. Early on, we had a number of residents that were going to the Houston NRG Stadium and other hubs down in Houston because they had supply faster than our providers. That leveled off after about week 3 or 4, and then it was easier for them to get it from us. But until we had that spun up with supply here locally, we did have some folks doing that. And I'm sure many folks that work down in the medical center or in other places in Harris County received their shot down there and vice versa. I know just watching it early on when the numbers were really low, and you can track it, and Methodist and Herman and Texas Children's and St. Luke's were giving them on site to their staff. The number would, we did 10,000 doses this week and everyone would clap, but the number would only blip by about 2 on the ImmuTrack system, and that's because a number of their staff live in other areas of the community and not necessarily in Montgomery County. So the numbers I gave this morning are specific to the county, and as we wrap up, this is going to go up. We expect to hit somewhere around 400,000 doses administered total throughout the whole community with all the partners, and that's going to keep going up once the hubs close because we've got a number of providers that will still remain open. So
such a good job, man.
Absolutely.
Such a good job. Well-oiled machine. The comments that people have made as I've been down there periodically as they're going through, couldn't believe how smooth it went. Well done, Jason, and your team.
Yeah, it's a great team effort. If Darren and Chris and Mark were here, you wouldn't recognize any of us. We've all got our summer tan early. And working out on the concrete in the sun all day has been a challenge, but they've done a great job, and we're looking forward to wrapping up and moving on to other things. So,
Commissioners, I can also tell you that Jason was the first one there in the morning and the last one to leave. It's an amazing job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
So item B, as we wrap up, this is just ongoing, making sure we have the funds to finish up strong. The first one is to address overtime for law enforcement. As I walked in, I was informed that we're probably at a net zero with this request. So I am going to come back next week with an additional request to make sure we don't go over budget and have funds expended before it's authorized from the court. I tend to not like
concerning the medical that we just authorized.
This amount barely covers what we have in coming.
Why don't we just make it for up to 100,000? You don't have to come back. And
if it's proper with notice purposes, I
helps us pay.
Okay. Yeah, 100,000 would get us to cover in the hole we're in and make sure we don't go further in the hole for the remainder of the month.
I move 100. That we use 100,000.
We've been using fund
and
balance.
Take it from the new medical supplies line.
The disaster fund.
100-3200-730-390. Okay. Got that, Amanda?
And then
I'll second that.
Okay.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right.
And then item C is to have the same effect. This is essentially for the meals that we're providing for lunch for the staff that's on site there. We are not over budget in that regard. This will finish us out
motion to approve.
The positive.
Move.
Second?
Yes.
All in favor? Opposed?
Same one.
Oh, we need a name of funding. Commissioners, could you name a funding source for that motion?
Judge Keough's.
It would be. Yeah.
It would be
from our same source that we just authorized.
Okay.
Yeah. We're good? Thank you. All right, Jason, well done. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
With that in mind, I'd like to go back to item number 12A. How are you? Thank you for being here. I had talked to Judge Metz, and he said that they had an airplane, a flight change that needed to take place.
Judge Mack.
Who did I say?
Metz.
Oh, sorry, Judge. Old habits die hard here. Judge Mack.
Yes, sir.
But he did tell me that they had a flight change because of an event that he was going to, and so he had to move it up. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
So if you would proceed.
We're asking you to consider and approve closing two part-time clerk two positions, 8510-2357. Combined salary for both positions is $57,620.68. Request to open one additional full-time slot in court clerk three, position 8510-2340. Annualized salary to be $39,395.20, a net savings of $9,486.38 of salaries and benefits would be returned to the county contingency.
I move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. How easy was that? Thank you so much. All right. Then let's move on to item number 14, county auditor. Prakash.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 14A, this is about the TCDRS retirement plan for the county. We received our calendar year, plan year 2022, plan assessment from TCDRS, and based on the markets and such, our funded ratio has decreased from about 90.2%. to 87.1%, thereby requiring us to increase the employer contribution into the TCDRS plan. As a background, for the previous year, we had elected 12.27% going into the TCDRS from the employer side, and TCDRS is requiring us to increase that up to 12.71%. Based on a quick math, that would have an impact on our operating budget of about $650,000 for the budget year 2022. And as such, I'm requesting you to consider and approve an increase in the required rate, part of the employee contribution, to 12.71 for the plan year 2022.
Are we going to do them all three at once? Just
sure, we can do that too.
Because I move on your three recommended changes.
Okay.
A second.
Any discussion on that?
And I just want to add one thing. We did have a conference call with TCDRS, and
right.
The most important thing to note out of this is that the way that our cash balance pension plan operates, when even though there's a variation in the percentage funding, that is much more of a dynamic of the market conditions and interest rates and future wages, not the solvency of our plan. And in any standalone 20-year period, our plan is fully funded. It is always in a position to fully fund the benefits for any closed 20-year period. So it's always important to monitor and to pay attention and make sure that we are following their recommendations, especially when it comes to the required contribution rate, but by no means is our plan anywhere near jeopardy. It is one of the best funded cash balance pension plans out there, and again, it is 100% funded in a closed 20-year time frame, so that is important to be noted. Now,
awesome. Thank you, Commissioner. Do we have a motion to approve? Second? All in favor? Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to temporarily recess to convene public hearings. Amy?
Commissioner, do you want me to recess?
Go ahead. Precinct 2?
Consider and approve naming the access roads at Keenan Cutoff Road overpass FM 2854 as follows. North Access Road to be named North Keenan Cutoff Court. South Access Road to be named South Keenan Cutoff Court. This will result in address changes to properties adjacent to these roads. Is anybody here to speak about that?
All right.
No,
I don't see nobody. All right, and consider and approve lowering the speed limit from 35 to 25 miles per hour on Panther Bend Court. Anybody here to discuss?
All right, then we'll reconvene our court and take appropriate action. Do I have a motion to approve item A1 and B1?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much. All right, at this time, we're going to adjourn to executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hey, I need y'all to sign that proclamation.
I'm going to move forward. As we come out of executive session, we have a motion.
Yes, sir. I'd like to move on the recommendation for the fiscal year 21 modification to the budget as presented by Amanda at the budget office.
Sir. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. All right. As we move forward in our agenda, are there any miscellaneous comments that anyone would like to make? Yes, sir.
I would like to make the motion that we have finally approved the resolution for Buddy Adams that we did about 3 hours ago. So I make the motion.
We have a second.
I'll second.
That's
fine. Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Is there anything else, gentlemen, or any citizen comments? If none, a motion adjourned.
Judge, there was a Marlon Jones wanted to speak.
Oh, we have someone?
This was on...
Yes, Marlon. Thanks, sir.
Thanks for being so patient. Sorry we almost overlooked that.
No problem. Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. My name is Marlon Jones, and I run a small engineering firm that is doing work with the county, well, trying to do work with the County of Montgomery. And we work in the residential market. Prior to me starting to work with the client that I'm working with, a developer, I had a conversation with County Engineer Jeff Johnson and just making sure that I would be okay to provide my services. He said, yes, as long as you're a licensed engineer in the state of Texas, you should be okay. Well, based on an amendment in the Montgomery County Subdivision Rules and Regulations document, my company is not able to work with Montgomery County. And it states, and this is what we received back as our report was rejected by the engineering division. The developer shall submit a geotechnical report prepared by a geotechnical engineer licensed in the state of Texas and employed by a company that is accredited by the American Association for Laboratory Accreditation. Now, although we understand the intent behind this rule, being accredited by the A2LA is a cost-prohibitive juncture for any small business into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. You first have to have a facility to house it, and then you have to have the equipment to upkeep. And so I am licensed in Texas, and all of the laboratory testing was performed by a laboratory that was A2LA accredited. The only thing that I'm asking is for consideration to amend this amendment to not require me to have to be employed by the A2LA accredited laboratory. I've worked in Texas for a number of years, and Montgomery County is the only county that has this stipulation, and it is not allowing my business to work with Montgomery County. Thank you.
We appreciate that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Judge, could your office help with that?
Sure. Jason's already on it. All right. Is there anything else that anyone would like to bring? We have a motion to adjourn. Move. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all so much.